Well, we're going to start a sermon series today. The sermon today is called Jesus Equals Hope. And then for the rest of April, the series is going to be changed, but it's called Jesus Equals Change. And so we have these devotions. You can find them out around the church, the next step area, some of the tables out in the foyer there. It's called Following Jesus. Pick one of these up. They're yours for free. And they've got stories about the power and the change that Jesus can bring in a person's life. Amen? Today is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? Now, the correct terminology for this would be resurrected. Some people call this Resurrection Sunday. Jesus did what no person has ever done or will ever be able to accomplish on this day, 2,000 years ago. 3 days ago, 2,000 years ago, he was nailed to the cross. He died, he was buried, and today he rose from the dead. By the power of his Father in heaven, he was raised from the dead. That's how all this took place. I want to share with you today how hope is the most important thing to come from this. When all this took place, 33 AD, when Jesus finally ascended into heaven, you see, when he rose from the dead, he didn't keep it a secret. There was lots of witnesses. The Bible even records there was one point where 500 people saw him walking the earth. He didn't walk around in secret, but when he ascended into heaven, there was about 120 followers who were true to his message. 120. Today, there are 2.5 billion people worldwide who call themselves followers of Jesus. 2.5 billion. Now, I did the math. I said, how many people are Christians in the world today? And the internet told me that according to these statistics, one out of every three people worldwide believe in Jesus. Consider them, yeah. Consider themselves followers of Jesus. So, this begs to ask the question. When Jesus started his ministry out, he had 12 guys. He picked 12 to follow him. How did 12 turn into 120, and then turn into 2.5 billion, the largest organization of people, religious, non-religious, worldwide, is Christianity. 2.5 billion. The resurrection. The resurrection is how it all happened. The resurrection changed everything. When Jesus was crucified and buried in the tomb, his disciples were scared, confused, bewildered. They scattered and they hid because they did not know what was happening. And then Sunday comes. I'm going to read the account from Sunday out of Matthew chapter 28. Now, if you think this story is a little far-fetched or a little exaggerated, I'm here to tell you that it is not. Everything in this word is the truth, the God-given truth. It doesn't change. It hasn't been changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So buckle up. Listen to this. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. The Romans and the Jewish religious leaders put guards because they were afraid something was going to happen. Then the angel spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." After this, the disciples became the most courageous group of people on the earth, and they spread the message of Jesus' saving grace everywhere they went, no longer scared and bewildered and confused. Because actually knowing that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead is what brings a message of hope to the world. It brought a message of hope that the love of God can see us through life here on earth and eternal life in heaven. Nobody else, no spiritual person, no guru, no philosopher, no teacher, nobody on the earth can promise you eternal life in heaven except Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one gets to heaven except through me." And I'm going to share with you how simple that is. See, it was the kingdom of God and the love of God that brought a message, that brought this message of hope when hearing about the resurrection of Jesus. I want to quote from you a couple of passages from the book of Acts. The book of Acts records the beginning church, the early church, the believers, and the message they preached and the boldness they preached it with. Listen to this, Acts chapter 2. These are like snippets from sermons, actually. "God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all." It wasn't until the disciples actually saw Jesus that they became so bold in their faith that they preached this message everywhere they went. So bold in their faith that 11 out of the 12 disciples were killed for their faith, and they did not fear that. The 12th one, John, they tried to kill him, and it didn't work, so they banished him to an island in prison for the rest of his life. You see, those who believe in Jesus, who call themselves followers of his, they have far more hope in the world than anybody else because of the resurrection. One of the things that happened with the resurrection is that Jesus can now offer us forgiveness of our sins. They were paid for on the cross. Here's another snippet from a sermon. This was a letter that was written to the church, to the Christians in Rome. Listen to this. "God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God." Raised from the dead, there's the resurrection again. You think there's an underlying theme to what they were preaching back then? The resurrection is spoken of all throughout the scriptures. It was prophesied about in the Old Testament, it was witnessed in the New Testament, and it was preached about. Believing that God raised Jesus from the dead and that Jesus is the Son of God is all that is needed to be made right with God. Nothing else. Nothing else. This was all part of God's plan to give us the fullness of life that we long for. Sometimes it's hard to fathom. Why do I need a Savior? Why do I need someone to save me from my sins? But once those sins are forgiven and Jesus takes them from you, You no longer carry around that weight and that burden and that guilt and that shame. And you never realize how much baggage you're carrying around spiritually until Jesus forgives you of your sins. You never know. Oftentimes what happens is we begin reasoning. Well, I'm a good person. I've done some good things. I worked at the soup kitchen for a little bit. I gave a bicycle away at the clinic over at that church. I volunteered one day. I helped my kids' school. I did a couple bad things we won't talk about, but I'm pretty sure the good outweighs the bad. That's called going through life in your own strength. And that's hoping that you do enough good deeds to get into heaven. But guess what? That's not going to get you into heaven. You see, we were not meant to go through life in our own strength. And that's what happens when we begin trying to tip the scales in our favor. Surely, I'll be going to heaven. I've been a good person. We hear that. I hear that a lot. Listen, God Himself wants to have a personal connection with you. He wants to put His love, His power, His Spirit in you. And this is where true life comes from. Those who call themselves followers of Jesus know that this is what gives us, and now I'm including myself here, a supernatural advantage in life. Everybody wants an advantage in life, right? It gives us additional power that we don't have on our own. When a person doesn't have that connection with God, with Jesus, they do not have a supernatural advantage. They don't have that power of God's Holy Spirit. That's why phrases are often said, I'm tired of being tired. I can't do this anymore. I'm giving up. I'm throwing in the towel. How much longer can this go on? We say things like that because we don't have an anchor, a creator, Jesus, to cling to, a supernatural advantage in life. You see, when a person has that supernatural to draw from when times get tough, they have the creator of the universe guiding them, leading them, and protecting them through the storms of life. A person cannot fulfill their purpose in life if they are not connected to their Creator. Listen to this. There's another little sermon. This is a letter written to the church in Ephesus. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. In case there was something else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That's power. That's powerful. Jesus conquered death. There is no greater power than that. And He wants everyone on earth to experience that same power of God's Spirit. But it's up to us to make the first move. See that pesky little thing we were given called free will? We get to make the choice. Do I want a Savior in my life, or do I want to go through life in my own strength? Do I want a supernatural advantage to help me through life, or do I want to go through life in my own strength? I'm picking over here. I chose that years ago, and I can tell you what, best decision I ever made. How about this? If God's Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, He can raise a dead marriage. If God's Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, he can raise a dead career. If God's Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, he can lift up anything you need that you think has been conquered. This is the same power that can free a person from their past. It has the power to break those memories that haunt a person. It has the power to help a person start over when they feel like giving up, and it has the power to help a person make a change in life when they don't feel like a change will ever help. That is resurrection power. This resurrection power we're talking about, we all have access to it. It's what gives us hope. It's what gives us fullness in life. And this is what Easter is all about, the resurrection. See, I have hope that when I stand before my Creator, when it's all said and done with, I am completely forgiven of every sin I've ever committed, and I will not face the judgment that I deserve. I have a clear conscience that all of my sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Am I going to mess up? You better believe it. I mess up. I'm not perfect. But I don't have to tip the scales in my favor. I mess up. I talk to Jesus about it. I go to that person. I pray about it. And you know what Jesus says? You've already been forgiven, son. Come on. Let's make this right. I don't have to worry about the guilt and the shame and the condemnation that comes with doing life on my own, the strength on my own. Because of the resurrection power of Jesus and the power of God's Holy Spirit, you can have your sins forgiven too, past, present, and future. This is why I can stand here and boldly proclaim to you the very words that the Apostle Peter preached when he said, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead." Could you imagine every Sunday if that's all we preached about, God raised Jesus from the dead? Because that's all they preached about back then. You want to know why? Because they knew the power that it carried with it. They knew the lives that could be changed with it. The disciples, 120 of them, they stood there and they watched Jesus ascend into heaven for the final time. Could you imagine the ladies go to the tomb? They're weeping, they're crying. They want to go see their Jesus, but he wasn't there. There was an angel there. An earthquake happened, and then they saw Jesus. And Jesus met the disciples in the city of Galilee, and they partied. It was not a solemn meeting, I'm pretty sure. I'll end the message with this. I'm going to round third and bring it home. There is no greater hope than to live life with Jesus. Believing in him, trusting in him, and following him. This brings hope in here like no other. When you're having the worst day possible, when things are beating you up, when life is beating you up, when your friends have abandoned you, when your coworkers have turned on you, you have Jesus to see you through it. There may be some people here in this room right now who long for that kind of hope, who long for a change for the better, who long for a resurrected Savior. And I believe that Jesus would want you to know that there has never been a day that's gone by that he hasn't loved you. There has never been a moment where he was not paying attention. He has seen the hurts. He has seen the mistakes. And he has seen the things that happened to you that were not your fault. He has seen it all. And he's never, ever stopped loving you. And I believe he wants to bring hope. He offers forgiveness, he offers healing, and he offers a purpose for your life. And it's very simple. If you're here and you're thinking to yourself, I want to be made right with God. I need hope. I need a Savior. I need to be in good standing with my Creator. I'm going to ask you in just a minute to raise your hand, simply because I want to see where you're at. And then we're all going to pray this very simple prayer together. But before we do, I want to read something to you from the Bible that speaks of this very decision some of you may be thinking about making. Listen to this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. Remember what I told you about a clear conscience that I have? I'm going to mess up. I do not take that for granted. But I also know that I have a Savior that's already forgiven those mess ups. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's straight from God's word. I just want to give you a minute here to make a decision. We had some people earlier that made a decision to get water baptized. They made this decision one time to say, I want to put my faith in a Creator, in my Savior, in my Creator. I want to believe in Him. If that speaks to you, can I see where you're at? Can you just raise your hand over here? Amen. Amen. This is your day. Anybody else? Maybe this isn't the first time you've done this, but you're like, man, how do I get right with God? Over here? Amen. Amen. This is your over here. Amen. Hold them up high. There's no shame in this. Hold them up high. Thank you, Jesus. All right, brother. Over here. And maybe you've walked with Jesus for a long time, but you began tipping the scales in your favor because you forgot what it was like to have a Savior on your side. And if I'm speaking to you, raise your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? This is your time. You know, those of you that raised your hand, keep them up. Jesus has been navigating this connection to happen right now. And this is a divine appointment. And you know what else the Bible says? It says the angels in heaven rejoice over a person who puts their faith in Jesus. You are about to be a part of the biggest celebration in heaven when we say this prayer together. Amen? Woo! And then also, after the service, back in our Next Step corner, we do have some information that will help you on this journey, and we have some people that would like to pray with you. So can I see those hands? Just raise them up one more time. We'll say this prayer. Yes, amen, amen. Say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for allowing yourself to die on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I ask for you to be a part of my life from this day forward. Please help me to have the hope and to walk in the purpose you have originally intended for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo! Man, thank you, all of you that raised your hand. I know that's not easy, but you know, we've all done that. We've all been there. And I am going to pray for you this week. I'm going to pray that you have the best week ever.